And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. And it's hard to believe that it's time again to get back to school. The fall semester for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute gets underway shortly, and the invitation for you, especially those of you in the third age, to get out there and learn something is out there now. With us this afternoon, Linda Kolick is one of the professors inside OLLI. Ian Wilson's the director. Susan Sobin's our communication director to OLLI. Welcome, all three of you, to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you, Dennis.
Let's go ahead and start here. People will ask immediately, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute's been on UTIP's campus for a long, long time. How do I get involved?
All right. It's very easy. We are directly on campus. To get more information, you can start at our website. It's OLLI, O-L-L-I, at utep.org. And you'll find a course list there as well as program details. You can also just give us a call. We're at 747-8848. You can even register for classes by phone.
Okay.
Most of the public libraries will have course brochures, so if you want to just go by and pick one up, you can get a good idea of the course list before you even call in.
That's wonderful. Ian, how do you and your staff wind up developing the curriculum for every semester?
Well, I have a very small staff, and we rely on volunteers who have joined together to form a curriculum committee. Some months before a session starts, the committee will send out a class proposal request to all the folks who have taught for us before, as well as a number of other people, UTEP professors and instructors at EPCC, and request for classes if they'd like to teach a class for 6 weeks or 12 weeks or, you know, even a shorter than that is possible. Then the curriculum committee takes all those proposals and puts together the two sessions for each term. They review, you know, the teacher's credentials. They review the class descriptions to see if it's appropriate for our program, and they make the decisions. So it's off my shoulders. I just do the technical part of putting the catalog together. It's a lot of fun that way to have input from people who are actually going to be going to the classes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we do it, Dennis.
The beautiful part about having each and every semester, especially at this level of learning, is that you don't have to worry about the syllabus, so to speak, and you don't worry about having to take tests. So, Linda, that brings us to you. How did you get involved in OLLI in the first place?
I just love to go to school. I've gone to school all my life. I've either taught or taken classes. And so once I retired, I decided I needed to get back to school. I must have seen an advertisement somewhere, gave it a try, and I've gotten involved in it in many different ways and really like it, obviously.
What do you teach?
I'm a language teacher, basically. I've taught a couple of linguistics classes, taught a Portuguese class, and I taught a Mystery Writers of the Golden Age class just recently, which was a bunch of fun.
When you teach something like mystery, learning how to write a mystery versus how to read a mystery, to me, there's always been a difference. When you write for mystery, you want to put in as many twists and turns as you can and engage, right?
Right.
You engage your reader so that they stay involved in your piece of work. But as a reader, you now become the sleuth to try to figure out where everything goes. And if you find yourself in a muck, then you wind up having to come back and reread a couple of passages until you get it right.
That's true. And the Golden Age writers, of course, knew this. We started with Agatha Christie, who was the ultimate person of putting clues and trying to fool you. And then we went into some others where that wasn't the main idea. But we focused on reading, not writing them. But that would be fascinating. I mean, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I might mention that we have another instructor, Nancy Natalicio, who does a whole series and has done over the years a series on how to write your own memoirs. And that class is quite popular with folks.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
We've had Nancy on a couple of times here on El Paso Primetime talking about writing your own memoir. And it's quite interesting. It's quite fascinating. Have any of you or all of you, have you written your memoirs?
No, but the class gets rave reviews. I love it. In fact, I think it's always full, isn't it?
I am a reader, not a writer.
I like to write, but I've not done that specifically.
I keep a recorder by my bedside and in my office just in case something hits me that I need to jot down. And I'm afraid one day when I finally croak and somebody picks up one of the two recorders, they're going to What is going on? Yeah. It's like, okay, see, and that's part of the mystery.
Okay, because you're gone.
Yeah, but part of the mystery is gluing the two recorders together in order to make it solvent.
Right, right,
see?
Right.
So that kind of follows. That's why you pique my interest when you're talking about mystery writing, because it seems to me that that would be one of the clues, one of the keys is, okay, what's missing here? And then you have to think about it.
Yeah.
True.
You know.
Yeah. I had one student who is a science person, and he came up and he said, I never thought I would like any kind of literature, but he said, mysteries I love because I can put those clues together.
Mm-hmm. Scientists do that. Musicians do that a lot, too. So let's talk about the curriculum, because evidently, as we know very well about Usher Lifelong, we know that there is a wide range of topics in order for any of us to really dig in and enjoy.
Right. Like Ian was saying when you asked him about instructors, we take suggestions from the members. And he mentioned to me before we came in today that in this term we were able to offer just about everything that members requested. So we have some very unusual classes and interesting ones. For example, bring yourself to the museum. The class will involve three visits to the El Paso Art Museum and then a discussion of the artwork scene. Our classes in Spanish will be Mexican movies and also a potpourri of local culture and history of the border region. In the body, mind, spirit section, we'll have Tai Chi, meditation, yoga, also a relationship with food, which is proper eating. For computers, we'll do cemetery research for genealogists and ghost hunters, also researching your family. In culture, the history and architecture of the Bhutanese temple here at UTEP, and also the history of U.S. elections and a discussion of the current campaign. We're doing a class on coffee production, and it'll even cover how to start your own business if you're interested.
I love coffee. That's the class I'm going to.
That's the Brazilian in you.
That's right.
That's Brazilian in me.
Exactly.
We're doing fishing for seniors. That is for fish.
Okay. I got it.
Our hands-on art classes will be repujado, portrait photography, oil painting and drawing, also photography. Mm-hmm. And then history, we've got Washington, Lincoln, FDR, and the shaping of a national identity. We're doing something on the Nile River, and we'll be reading writings by famous travelers who have traveled on the Nile River, including Herodotus, Napoleon, and Florence Nightingale. Justice at Work under Humanities will be a discussion of individuals and committees here in the border region working for social justice. Under Language, the main foreign language is Spanish. We're also doing one on bilingualism in the border region, which we'll talk about bilingualism and its effect on public education. Under Literature, we're doing some novels and plays, also Don Quixote. The music course will be ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
Under music appreciation, a discussion of symphonic movements through history and how the structure of the symphony has changed. And also Steve Schiller is going to come back and do his annual symphony class.
Oh, cool.
He'll be talking about pieces which will be performed by the El Paso Symphony and the Las Cruces Symphony, where he also plays. For philosophy, we'll do classical Roman poetry, also Virgil's Aeneid. Under science, cultural anthropology and controversies in science, and then, like we talked about, writing your memoirs.
Wow.
Yeah, a very wide scope.
You know,
yeah, one of the things that's missing is Dennis Wu doing his famous class on jazz and the Great American Songbook. So we're looking forward to in the future semester to having that back again.
Yeah, I'd like to do that in the springtime. This time around, I just got really slammed
because
I'm working two productions at El Paso Playhouse concurrently. So I don't mind telling you about it. It's something that we talked about in class before about how music shapes your memory and how it's the music of your lifetime. So basically, I'm working on Our Lady of the Tortilla, which is a contemporary piece. and The Diary of Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on a comedy and a not-so-comedy, mm-hmm. obviously. It's a very stark drama. And so the challenge for me is to try to separate the two projects and do it concurrently. So that's why I'm not doing it this semester.
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted because we'll send notices out to our members who'd be interested in both those topics.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. As time gets nearer, the Our Lady of Tortilla, I think, is a September production, and the October production is Diary of Anne Frank. Really unusual topics to really cover. And when you get into the meat of the matter of the music, it now, you want to talk mystery?
Ooh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, I might mention that one of the benefits of being an OLLI member is that you have access to a lot of great activities here on the UTEP campus.
Mm-hmm.
Music, theater, special lectures, every part of the year there are things going on that our members can attend at little to no cost.
Mm-hmm. You get a discount with your OLLI ID, and I've even used my OLLI ID for the El Paso Symphony.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I get a student discount.
So let me broaden this out just a little bit because I'm curious about it. I know that the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute here is part of a nationwide.
There are 119 Osher institutes in the country, all over the place. Mr. Bernard Osher made his millions in banking and some other areas of expertise. And he didn't have any children, so he decided to set up a foundation that provides funding to all these universities to run educational programs for seniors. So we were fortunate to get in on that. They were giving grant. They gave us a grant of $1 million. That's an endowment grant. So we always get the question, what happened to the $1 million? Because we always asking for donations. Well, the $1 million is sitting aside making interest, and our program is partially funded by the interest of that endowment grant. Yes, these 119 institutes all over, each of them is set up differently. Mm-hmm. There's no set formalized program. It was designed specifically so that each community could develop the program based on what their community needs were.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. An interesting aside to Mr. Osher, he was also an art dealer. He was an art collector, and he had an art auction house. So that was another source of his fortune.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of our members goes and visits another Osher institute elsewhere in the country, let's say I'm an OLLI member and I go to Los Angeles, what would I be looking at in terms of what they get to offer?
Well, as I mentioned, each OLLI runs their program differently.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I don't know what each of the programs run. In California, there's probably more than a dozen different OLLI programs in the L.A. area. There's three or four.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm familiar with the one down in Orange County, California.
Okay.
And they run similar classes that we do. One, they charge a lot more than we do, being in a bigger area and more affluence. But, you know, we're keeping up and we're able to do some things that some of the OLLIs aren't able to do.
Mm-hmm. So. You could always start on the Internet. If you go to Osher Lifelong Learning Institute and the name of the city you're going to visit, mm-hmm. chances are you can find a couple of sites and look at their course list, the program details, and get an idea that way.
Which is, to me, one of the biggest perks living here in El Paso, taking advantage of our own OLLI. I think the price is right, and obviously with the listing, and that's just a preliminary listing of the classes you're offering this semester alone.
This semester, mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's a plethora of things to go out and do.
That's right.
How can you find enough time to go to all these classes? You know?
Some people are there every day and take two classes every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Take advantage of a situation while you can and learn as much as you want, right?
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that it's inexpensive, and that's right. It's just $70 for all the classes that you want to take, and new members pay a one-time processing fee of $25.
Wow.
So it's
that's dinner.
Yeah.
That's somebody's dinner. You can do that.
That's right.
And then afterwards,
Parking is included.
The parking.
In the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, if you divide it up by class, it's just amazing.
It is.
Yeah, yes. How little it costs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The class members, the folks who come into each one of the classes, they're so diverse and so giving of their own talents. You know, it becomes, for me, it becomes more of a learning thing. Y'all become my teachers, and I get to listen to all of this and just process it and then bring it over to the radio station. It makes sense to me.
Right.
Yeah, we loved Dennis's class. I took it every time you offered it.
Thank you.
I was amazed not only at your expertise, but what the students brought. Mm-hmm. Some had followed jazz here in El Paso practically all their lives, from their teenage years on to the current time. And they knew a lot of history, had a lot to say.
So let me ask you this question. As an institute, would you be open to possibly doing an oral project, an oral history project with your students?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a lot of members who'd be very interested in putting in their two cents and talking about the history, talking about their own personal history, as well as what they see, what they've seen here in the area. Absolutely, Dennis.
I'm just, you know, I'm putting that out there for you because I'm thinking further on down the line where this radio station, Ollie, your students, this community really does need that kind of project, an ongoing project. You go downtown, you go to the Museum of History, you see the DigiWall.
Right.
You go play with the DigiWall, you put your stuff up. You can even put your own genealogy up on the DigiWall. But it seems to me that we're almost at a point now where we wind up losing a lot of our oral history just because we haven't really done much to do that. Now, Nancy Natalicio does that with the memoirs, but I think we could do that even more. What do you think?
Absolutely. Sure. I mean, El Paso has a fascinating history anyway, you know, without even personal people. And then you add the personal touch to it. I think it would be wonderful.
It's an idea that I think runs hand in hand with what Mr. Osher probably would have wanted to, is to chronicle what goes on in each one of the institutes. Because if that pilot project here works, then you can take it to a conference and say, this is what we're doing, and maybe spread it out.
Right.
Because then it becomes part of this entire project that NPR has been doing with StoryCorps for the longest time.
Yeah.
And if we wound up collaborating with them, who knows? We could really let this thing take off.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
That's something to think about.
I love to listen to those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're fascinating.
You know, Dennis, if you were an Ollie member, we would take that, you know, more seriously.
Yes, I know.
Just
putting
kidding.
It out there for me,
just
right?
Kidding. Just putting it out there. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, we like when the instructors are members because they get the same information that members do, and they can come and take classes like members do, and there are a few instructors who are there quite frequently. Mm-hmm. Not only teaching classes, but taking classes as well.
Give and take is what it's all about. And sometimes
Absolutely.
I wonder why universities don't build a model around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes when you're in a structure like a state university like this, I think oftentimes there are some profs who take advantage of the situation and will learn from their students because of their situation. And then reinstitute the class with that kind of knowledge in order for everyone to feel invested in that class.
Right.
And that's what I get out of doing classes at Ollie. You know, it started with Center for Lifelong Learning. I really enjoyed that. But this is more, it's not just the structure, but there's more of this feeling that we really need to get in touch with one another once again.
You mentioned that in your radio announcing as well, that you try to do what listeners want, what they're interested in.
And that's what this show is really all about, too. This show grew out of a thing called Senior Junction.
Sure enough.
Right.
Back in the day. And it just evolved into El Paso Primetime because it's not just about those of us in the third age, but it's about the entire community. Bringing the community together just so that everybody shares at the table.
Right, right.
And that's where I see Ollie being a very formidable sort of a thing to be able to bring back into the community so that the generation behind us knows to come into Osher when they turn 50.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. right.
It's kind of like AARP, only this one's fun.
Yeah, good idea.
Talking about what members want, I also want to mention that most of our classes are in the afternoon, so there's no nighttime driving.
Mm-hmm.
They'll meet once a week, and each class meets for about 90 minutes.
Okay.
And I also want to let people know registration is August 15th to 26th. And you can visit us over in Miners Hall, room 209. We're staffed in the afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I'd like to point out, too, that everything is just easy. The registration is easy. The parking is easy. It just is not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about a university, you have lots of hoops to jump through before you can participate. But OSHA is easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you find it easier now that you've retired and have decided to come back to teach, how easy it is to teach without having to go by a syllabus?
Yes. Yeah. The first class I taught, I sort of didn't do so well because I was still doing my college teaching. And I thought, this isn't going to work. And so I've taught about four classes. And I think with this last one, I finally got it right. I finally figured out the pace of it and how you have to organize and the participation you have to have. So it's different. It's mm-hmm. different being a student and also teaching there. Very pleasant.
I always thought that there was a structure in trying to teach some kind of a linguistics course, regardless of what the language is.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I started learning about this one thing about interaction.
Mm-hmm.
If you find out what everybody's there for,
mm-hmm.
then you can just go for it at that point, and then let's see where we go from there. That's how I started learning Esperanto in Tucson.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
And you use that a lot here, right?
Yeah, well, I have to. You know, it's like Zoroastrianism, I guess.
That's
good luck
right.
in finding a temple, right?
Well, there's Kleon and just all sorts of made-up languages that are fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Esperanto has a lot of speakers. They have literature. They have dictionaries. They have a grammar. That's what I know about it. I don't know any Esperanto, but I think it'd be fun.
It is a lost talent. It's a lost art. There's maybe about 100,000 people worldwide that continue to practice Esperanto.
Sure enough.
And the only reason why I got into it is because my neighbor at the apartment complex said, you know what? You look bored. Let's go to an Esperanto class over at Pima. So we went to one, and I just got kind of hooked for about 5 or 6 weeks. And I thought, you know what? Okay. Where am I ever going to use this? But you never know who you run into on the Brio.
That's right.
Plus, it's the idea of bringing people together with a common language, mm-hmm. which is why it was started back in the 19th century, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a neat idea.
One of the unique things about our Ollie here in El Paso is that 80% of our members are bilingual. And many of our members, I know, would prefer to learn things in Spanish, because if Spanish is your mother tongue, that's where you're more comfortable in learning and teaching. So we're doing a concerted effort to increase the number of classes that we do in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
Not only to grow the program, but because it's what our members want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's also a great way to bone up for students of Spanish.
Right. I was about to say, sure.
Yeah,
good way to maintain your Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, if you're immersed in it.
Our two classes coming up in the fall, Cine Mexicano and the Potpourri of El Paso History, are both be taught in Spanish. The Cine Mexicano class is taught by a recent grad of UTEP, who's just a charming young lady who has a great presentation and fabulous information about the Mexican cinema industry.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we're all looking forward to watching those flicks.
Yeah.
In Spanish.
That's going to be really interesting because there's such a rich history in Mexican cinema.
Yes.
Right.
One of
my
favorite films is a 1957 film called La Rosa Blanca.
Rosa Blanca.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you watch it and you sit down and you watch the whole film, you think, oh my gosh, this thing is horribly edited, horribly acted and everything. But the message behind it is actually quite telling.
Huh.
And it's basically what it is. It's propaganda.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. That's a 1957 propaganda film. But if you take it from the artistic standpoint, in 1957, where everybody was using even CinemaScope and Technicolor and all that, this filmmaker decided to keep it in black and white simply because of a budgetary thing. So, yeah, I would, if I were a member, which I should be, I would be taking this class, which I really want to do because that just fascinates the bejeebers out of me.
There you go.
Yep. You go. So let's go over it one more time how folks can get registered and involved.
Okay. Best place to start is our website, olli@utep.org. And there you'll find program details and a course list. Once you know what classes you'd like to take, you can just give us a call, 747-8848. You can register with your credit card, or you can visit our office. We're in Miners Hall, room 209, and we're staffed Monday through Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. And the price is just $70 for all the classes you want to take and a $25 one-time processing fee for new members. And registration runs August 15th to 26th.
Wonderful. Man, this is great. I want to thank all of you for coming in and sharing and talking about a wonderful program that I think the rest of our audience really needs to get involved. So if you're not, like me, make that switch and let's all do it together. We're all in it together, right?
That's right.
Thanks for coming in. I really do appreciate y'all. Mikasa Sukasa.
Thank you, Dennis.
We'll see you at Olli.
You betcha.